I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
It's brand new, season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Hello and welcome into Follow the Money, live from downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino on a Wednesday. Stormy Bonantoni and the Super Bowl champion, Sean King, in for Mitch and Polly today. Repping the Ali on your chest,
the
my
greatest
man.
Of all time.
That is nice.
Yes.
That's a nice little combo you've got going here.
Thank
in the
you.
AM.
I consider myself semi-stylish.
We were getting into your coffee routine
chai,
a moment ago as
chai
well.
Chai tea this morning. But shout out to all the Starbucks lovers out there. My go-to is venti iced coffee, blonde shot of espresso, cream, one pump of vanilla, no classic. But as we sit right now, I'm in love with this toasted almond shaken espresso. It is tremendous.
Yes, the shaken espressos are good. I like the brown sugar oat milk one. But it's just embarrassing to order because there's so many words. Whatever happened to what I have today, just a normal coffee, cream and sugar,
I have a one-man campaign going to make the plum Danish year-round.
Oh.
Yeah, it's seasonal right now.
See, I'm more like a cream cheese Danish
See,
type.
They have that one, I think, the majority of the year.
Yes, they do. That's a year-round staple. I hope you got your 4 hours of independent study in last night. By the way, we got a lot to cover today.
Well, I had the iPad on.
The show. Aaron Ladd, who covers the Chiefs at a local affiliate in Kansas City, is going to break down all things NFC West with us here in about an hour. Will Hill of the New York City cast as well. Game one of the Subway Series started yesterday. Mets get the win. How will things play out tonight? All things New York with Will. College football, the Big Ten media days ongoing right now. We're gearing up for college football in a big way. So Thor Nystrom, college football analyst for Betting Pros, will join us in hour three, as will Matt Maiocco for all things 49ers talk. He is an insider for the team for NBC Sports Bay Area, knows everything there is to know. And we will in a moment discuss all things Jimmy Garoppolo as well. But where I wanted to start actually today was a signing for your former team, Julio Jones, off of the market. And when we talked yesterday about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you said that you didn't really feel very firm one way or another. Does Julio being added to that wide receiver core move the needle for you?
Not at all. I think Julio's had a tremendous career. He's absolutely a first ballot Hall of Famer. Yet he's old. And, you know, the first thing that goes when you're old, Stormy, because you're still young, and I'm old, so you don't know what it feels like.
I don't know. I'm getting up there.
Your legs. Like, as an athlete, that's the first thing that starts to diminish. Your ability to run, jump, stop, start. And you're talking about a guy who played 10 games last year, 31 catches, one touchdown. So he averaged 3 catches a game, only scored one touchdown in 10 games. That's not Julio Jones. So, I mean, good for the Bucs. I mean, if he can, you know, make a big red zone catch at some point in the season, you know, that helps them win a game, then, I mean, it's a low-cost, you know, kind of addition. So,
well, and last year was a career low. I understand that. But, well, everybody, I feel like so many people are coming out here calling Julio Jones washed, and I just don't see that yet. I feel like he's dealt with the injuries, obviously, and he is getting older, yeah, like you mentioned. But you're also going to go from an offense that was very reliant on the run and a quarterback in Ryan Tannehill to Tom Brady. And right. I think, you know, I don't know if Tom was out there on the recruiting trail again. Like, we know how he likes to do to get his guys. But, I mean, he didn't go to Green Bay or Indy or these other wide receiver needy teams. He goes to Tampa Tom and gets added to Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, who's going to be coming back healthy from that ACL injury, Russell Gage, who was brought in this offseason. I think that wide receiver group could be pretty special.
I think
he's the third.
Yeah, I think it could. I would never call Julio washed. He's just old. And to me, there's a big difference.
Absolutely.
You know, washed means that, you know, you still had prime years left and he just fell off. Like, he just got old. And all of us are going to get old, I promise. I want to get really old. So, you know, he's old.
Well, he and Mike Evans, two of just three active players with 7,000-yard seasons. So we'll see how things play out there. Todd Bowles, first season as head coach, running the ship. Byron Leftwich, offensive coordinator. Win total 11.5 for these guys.
Shout out to Mike Evans. Like, he's probably one of the most underrated players in National Football League. You know, he's never had a season without 1,000 yards receiving since he got into the NFL.
That's insane. That's special.
He caught 14 touchdown passes last year. No one really talks about him when they talk about
the top group
of elite wide receivers. I think because as productive as he is, I think it's a workmanlike production, and that he just shows up, he gets his numbers. It's not really yards after the catch. It's not really the explosive Tyreek Hill type plays, but he's long, he's big, he can still run, he catches everything, and, you know, he's done it with multiple quarterbacks, which I think is extremely impressive.
Well, good for the Bucs, adding another weapon to that arsenal. Another big headline coming out of yesterday's training camp, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan met Wednesday morning with Jimmy Garoppolo. The three talked a lot of things over. Shanahan said that we have moved on to Trey Lance. This is Trey's team. Take a listen to verbatim what they had to say.
You know, Jimmy understands where we're at. We understand where we're at. Like, I can't tell you how appreciative I have been of Jimmy and him being here, and so appreciative of what he did for us last year. I think Jimmy and we knew what move we made the year before on that. Jimmy did a hell of a job coming to camp and winning that job and taking us real close to the Super Bowl. But we have moved on to Trey. We're starting camp out this way. We think Jimmy would have been traded if the surgery didn't happen, and it did. He needed to do it, so there's no ill will there at all. But it's good to see that he is healthy. But now it's all just seeing how this will end up.
Yeah, and he did pass his physical, but it does suck for Jimmy Garoppolo right now, knowing that all of the quarterback needy teams out there essentially got who they need, and he's just kind of there dangling, hanging and waiting, trying to figure out what's next and, like, what's going to happen with him.
This is going to be fascinating, and Stormy, the main reason is, and you have to put a little context on this because he did back up Tom Brady early in his career, but Jimmy Garoppolo has played 8 years in the National Football League. He's played 16 games once. In 8 years, he has 1 year where he's thrown for more than 20 touchdown passes, and that was 2019 when he threw 27, but also threw 13 interceptions. Yet, he has quarterbacked a team to a Super Bowl and in another year, the NFC Championship game. So it's going to be fascinating to see how he's viewed because he's looking for Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott type money because that's what the market is right now if you're going to extend your starting quarterback on a 4+ year deal, which was what Garoppolo's looking for. So it's going to be fascinating. And to respond directly to what John and Kyle said, it sounds like they met with Jimmy. They asked Jimmy, are you willing to be the backup? And he said, no, I'd rather go somewhere else and try and have an opportunity to start.
Well, and if this is Trey's team, you want to make sure that you're instilling that confidence in him, that he's the guy too, and not having somebody looking over their shoulder. I mean, this is the writing has been on the wall for Trey Lance to be the guy since the moment that they traded up in the draft last year to get him. They paid a king's ransom, gave 3 first-round picks and a third, traded up from 12 to 3. And what worries me about Trey, though, is just the lack of experience. Like, he hasn't played, like, legit ever. Starting ever. Meaningful games in the last 2 years.
Ever, even at North Dakota State. He played one year.
It's FCS. And granted, it was a tremendous season. They went 16-0, 28 passing touchdowns, 14 rushing, no picks. Yeah. But it's a different level in the NFL.
It is. And I agree with everything you said. And the only pushback I would give Stormy is, in professional sports, I don't believe in a guy being worried about who's backing him up. Because if that bothers you, then you aren't what we need anyway. And as a team...
I'm not saying Trey thinks that, but maybe from a coaching and general manager standpoint.
Right. As a team, I want the best 53 guys possible. And God forbid something happens to Trey Lance, which, if you look at his 1 year in the National Football League, he had 2 starts, but he got injured. So if Garoppolo's not San Francisco's backup, and with the style of play that I think Trey Lance is going to have, which is utilizing his athleticism, especially early in his career, what if he gets hurt? I mean, who's playing quarterback in San Francisco if Trey Lance sprains an ankle? So, I mean, I don't agree with Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners parting ways. If I was John Lynch, I would say, listen, Jimmy, I know this is probably in the fairest, you know, last 6 months for you, but we still value you. We did give up a lot to select Trey Lance, so we're going to start him, but we also, you know that we have somebody competent in you. If something that we can't turn down is presented to us, then we'll move on it. But I'm not going into the season with just Trey Lance at quarterback just because Jimmy Garoppolo wants to see if he can go somewhere else and be a starting quarterback.
And I know we talked about it a little bit the other day too, but he is so beloved in that locker room, and you have to just wonder if, from a thought process standpoint of Kyle Shanahan, if that factors into.
Well, he might be the most good-looking player in the NFL. So I mean, as a teammate, you want him as your wingman.
That was the thing, though, when it was him and Tom together, was just like, all right, this quarterback room's just
you
unfair.
Want him as your wingman. I mean, if you're going out somewhere, you know, interacting with some new friends. I mean, you bring Jimmy along, that's good for your game.
I do feel for Jimmy from the football standpoint a little bit here, just how different maybe people would look at him had he hit Emmanuel Sanders on that post route in the Super Bowl. Like, had he made that play, had he done just a couple little things differently that pushed San Francisco over the edge? Because when he's on the field versus when he hasn't been, that win-loss record is insane for San Francisco, and I know it's about being on the field. It's about that availability.
I wanted to look something up. No one should feel bad for Garoppolo. I mean, he did sign a 5-year, $137 million deal when he came to San Francisco.
Well, and that's part of the issue now, right? That $24 to $27
million. He'll be able to afford a bunch of Kleenexes if he's in his feelings and needs to, you know, wipe a tear or two.
Just wipe them with the dollar bills. Right. That's all you got to do. This first hour of All the Money presented by Bet Rivers, exclusively your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at betrivers.com. And like we said off the top, there's a lot of talking points with this San Francisco 49ers team, including the Deebo Samuel situation. John Lynch gave some comments on their progress toward getting a deal done, ideally in the near future. So lots of angles that we can cover with Matt Maiocco later on in the show. But first, win some, lose some on the other end of this break. A lot of Major League Baseball action yesterday and some surprising results yet again, including in the Subway Series. Don't go anywhere. More Follow the Money coming up.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Rolling along here on a Wednesday morning from downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. Stormy Bonantoni alongside former NFL quarterback and Super Bowl champion Sean King as we continue our NFL conversation. All 32 NFL teams have training camp underway. Players have been on site for the Kansas City Chiefs for the last couple of days, but the first full day of practice from St. Joe today to help us break it all down in all things Aaron AFC West. My goodness, we bring in Aaron Ladd of sports anchor over there in Kansas City's KSHB 41 News. I got ahead of myself trying to say your name, Aaron, instead of actually the division. So welcome in. Thank you for joining us.
A very warm welcome. I appreciate it. Division named after me. I mean, what a warm welcome here.
Yep, there we go. We're elevating our game here. Listen, one of the biggest storylines of the offseason, to the surprise and panic, I'm sure, of Chiefs fans everywhere, is that Tyreek Hill will no longer be on the squad this year in that receiver room. But they bring in Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, pick up Sky Moore, the rookie out of Western Michigan. What's the feeling around the organization right now about this wide receiver overhaul that we're seeing in that group?
Yeah, it's the question that everybody wants to know. It's what my pastor is asking. It's what the pharmacist is asking. How are they going to be able to replace the production of the cheetah? And Andy Reid was at that very firstly. You led it off with it. We led off with it as training camp opened. So, what's the plan? And he says, you know, I've won in many different ways in my time in Philadelphia and here in Kansas City. And the show goes on. It's going to be more of a balanced attack for Kansas City. They're going to have to be more committed to running the football, which is something we didn't see in the second half of that AFC title game. General Manager Brett Veach even telling reporters sometimes the Chiefs' worst weakness themselves. Maybe this offseason, losing the cheetah, getting those draft picks, getting more balanced in the wide receiver room and in the running back room, we see less of that weight on the shoulders of Patrick Mahomes and maybe balanced out throughout the entire offense.
You know, what was interesting to me last year, and it's an offensive question, Aaron, was Patrick Mahomes seemed to be very risky as far as taking care of the football, threw the most interceptions he ever has in his career. Has Coach Reid addressed what the quarterback worked on this offseason, and has his approach changed, you know, considering that he does have some new faces, you know, at wide receiver.
Yeah, Mahomes was very honest with reporters about what his work needed to be done. He admitted that second half of the AFC title game, which I'm sure we'll harp on as this season continues here in 2022, some of the worst football that he had played in his career. And he talked about his base and his foundation. You know, as a former quarterback, how important it is to have your feet set. And he talked about a lot of throwing off his back foot and scrambling. We've heard now within this last week, anonymous execs saying it's a quote unquote street ball type mentality. Back to talking about a more balanced offense for KC, allows Patrick Mahomes to quote unquote stay on schedule. He doesn't have to go and get three touchdowns back in one play. Base and that foundation. Being healthy this offseason as well, he dealt with a turf toe injury a lot coming out of that Super Bowl against Tampa Bay, and that kind of hampered being able to add strength the offseason. He said he feels in the best shape of his life, so scratch that off on the training camp bingo card, but Patrick Mahomes working on his foundation going into 2022.
Now, Aaron, I know Patrick does a lot of stuff at the line of scrimmage as far as changing plays, getting out of one play into another. But something that really I don't think has been discussed is the fact that Matt Nagy, the former offensive coordinator, is now back in Kansas City. So the majority of his career, Andy Reid called the plays, but then Eric Bieniemy has been calling the majority of the plays the last couple years. Now, with the former OC Matt Nagy back, how is that power dynamic going to work on Sundays?
It's something we're all going to have to find out and watch it and look and be interested in. Eric Bieniemy feels like someone who should have had his opportunity to be a head coach by now. We've talked about this for the last three or four off seasons. Matt Nagy comes back, and Patrick Mahomes has been a very vocal supporter of having him back because he's a quarterback whisperer. I know it didn't look like that when he was in Chicago, and I know it didn't translate into wins, but coming from the rookie OTA period to the voluntary mini camps, we saw him working not only with Mahomes, but the other quarterbacks that are on Kansas City's roster, and Shane Buechele as well. And the way that he communicates with them, it speaks their language, if you will. And you can only hope that makes 15 more comfortable. You can only hope that, he starts to see things with these new faces in the offensive room. It makes things a little bit easier for not to think as much when he's out there.
Here with Aaron Ladd of KSHB41 in Kansas City, and I'm still just laughing a little bit about the thought of last year being a down year for Patrick Mahomes, which it was, but the offense still ranked fourth in points scored, third in total yards, fourth in passing yards, and sixth in passing TDs, so not too bad. When you talk about the running back room, the news came out yesterday, Clyde Edwards-Helaire been placed on the PUP list. What's the latest on that, and is this something we expect to drag out or be a short-lived situation for him?
It sounds like a short-lived situation. Andy Reid will talk a little bit later today with the veterans reporting. You talked about it, that on the lead in the first full team practice. We'll hear from him. But my buddy Nate Taylor at the Athletics, it's going to be a minor injury. Quick stop for CEH on the PUP list. But it definitely gives fans and people who were upset with where he was drafted and what his production has been so far in the league another reason to kind of knock him down on the totem pole. It is a reshaped running back room, as we talked about the wide receiver room as well. Ronald Jones coming over, Jerick McKinnon is back, draft Isaiah Pacheco out of Rutgers in the seventh round. So it's definitely going to be I call it a Neapolitan backfield, if you will. A lot of different flavors, and Andy Reid kind of likes it that way. A bruising guy for the early downs, a guy who can be shifty and play in space. And we'll have to see where Clyde Edwards-Helaire fits in that whole puzzle. It definitely doesn't start off on the best foot. But he'll have opportunities. It's still early.
Neapolitan, I like that. That's a good way to describe it. Now, let's talk a little bit bigger picture when it comes to the division. Last year, obviously, the Chiefs went 12-5, AFC Championship for a fourth straight year, AFC West title for a sixth straight year. But already a really good division got even better this past offseason. So do you think that this Kansas City Chiefs team might be more vulnerable than it ever has been in the Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid era together because of all of the upgrades that these other squads have done?
It's a mix of that and the new faces in Kansas City. If we're looking at, we know the NFL is a quarterback's league. The AFC West has the best quarterbacks of all the divisions. I don't think I'm going out on a limb and saying that. It's the combination of the rest of the ships being better, the rising tide raising all the ships, and Kansas City just having a lot of mixed match faces, not only on the offensive side, but the defensive side as well. They're going to be relying on some young linebackers and Willie Gay and Nick Bolton take a step forward this year. That's something Steve Spagnuolo, I'm sure, is not extremely comfortable with. We know he likes to play veterans, but I would like to see what Kansas City is going to do along the defensive line as well. It's a unit that left some room for production. I think Joe Burrow was sacked 9 times against Tennessee Titans and only once against Kansas City in that AFC title game. It's not only that the AFC West has gotten better and they have the best quarterbacks in the league, but Kansas City is not the unit that we've seen in the past just from a personnel-wise.
And, Aaron, that's what I was going to ask next. As you look at the team as a whole, and I try and figure out, okay, where the deficiencies are at. Total defense, team defense, they actually finished 8th, so they weren't that bad, but only 31 sacks as a defense.
29th in the league.
Yeah,
sacks.
29th in the league. Chris Jones did his part. They brought Frank Clark over from Seattle, but he only had 4.5. I don't feel like they really upgraded that pass rush. Has Andy addressed like what they're going to do to try and create pressure, especially considering the level of quarterback that now exists in this division?
They had a lot of draft capital and used a first-round pick on George Karlaftis out of Purdue, but I'm with you. I think that's heavy expectations to put on the shoulders of a rookie. I wasn't in favor of really bringing Frank Clark back after the performance that we saw from him last year, but the restructured contract made it a little more easier pill to swallow, if you will, for Kansas City. Chris Jones is definitely their most talented pass rusher, and we saw him not only on the edge last year, but also at his natural position inside. But in his 11 career postseason games, not a sack to show for it. The AFC title game one, where he basically had Joe Burrow tucked into bed and Joe Burrow scrambles out for the first down. It's something that he said motivates him this entire offseason. If you're asking me for a deficiency for Kansas City, it's definitely the defensive line. They added, I believe, Azur Kamara out of Dallas yesterday, but still, I would like to see them add a piece along the line to make me feel a little better about their pass rush.
So now on VSiN, we try and make money. We get all this information and we get these insider updates. The Chiefs win total sits at 10.5. Aaron Ladd, if you're digging into your pockets, are we going over 10.5 wins or are we going under and why?
Well, I want to dig your pockets because my pocket's not going to get us very far. I'll let you know that now. But I'll go over. I've said for a while, I think 11-6 is probably where Kansas City ends up. But their first 8 games are going to tell me everything I need to know. It's apparently the hardest 8-game stretch in NFL history. Every team above 500 last year, and they have a week 8 bye, so you include the week 9 game. And it's some tough opponents in there and some ones you might not think about. I mean, a road trip to Arizona to start the year off and then a quick turnaround on Thursday night against one of those division opponents, Justin Herbert and the Chargers. Indianapolis is a team that maybe you don't want to play on the road early in the year. And that first 8-game stretch will tell me a lot about what they do. We know last season they started off extremely slow, 3-4 through the first 7 weeks before going on that win streak. The first thing would tell me a lot, but if I am a betting man, and I know you are on VSiN, I'll take the over on that.
Aaron, you're awesome. Really appreciate your time and have fun out there for day one, full practice at training camp.
Hey, barbecue on me if y'all are ever in Kansas.
Hey, we will take you up on that. Aaron Ladd of KSHB 41 in Kansas City. Great stuff from him. When we come back, we'll talk AFC and NFC contenders or maybe pretenders there atop the odds board. Don't go anywhere. More Follow the Money coming up.
Follow the Money on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get 60% off all expert picks at winnersandwiners.com with promo code VSiNHOME60 at checkout. Tired of paying for losers? Winners and Winers best bets are backed with a win guarantee because no one should have to pay for losing picks. Their top experts just want to combine 3-1 with their best bets. And they're real excited about today's card, so use the promo code VSiNHOME60 at checkout to get 60% off all expert picks today at winnersandwiners.com. Stormy Bonantoni and Sean King in for the guys, Mitch and Paul, here for Follow the Money. And it was a World Series-type environment at Citi Field last night between the Mets and Yankees. You felt the energy. You felt the hostility. You felt all the things. So to help us break it all down, we bring in VSiN's own Will Hill, host of the New York City Cast, at not the Will Hill on Twitter, because that has been confusion in your family, Will, hasn't it?
It has. It's happened before with regards to, you know, Ohtani winning the MVP. But like you said, World Series preview, that's as close to the World Series as the Yankees are going to come if they don't, you know, make some moves here. They're in trouble. They got issues everywhere. Stanton's hurt in the lineup. King broke his elbow, their second best reliever the other night. Severino's hurt in the rotation. Their World Series is going to come down to whether they can make a move here in the next week or two, because they are not good enough right now.
Yeah, 6-3 loss to the Mets last night. They've dropped five of their opening seven games here in the second half, 11 of their last 19 overall, hanging on to that best record in baseball by a thread. So is it injuries, or if not, what's leading to this lull for the Yankees, and how do they get out of it?
Yeah, it definitely part of it's injuries. I think part of it was, you know, they were due for some regression. I mean, look, they were on pace to win 120 games at one point. They were never that kind of team. They even, you know, when they were playing well, they had guys in the lineup not carrying their weight with Gallo, Kiner, Falefa. I mean, the idea that you hit Gallo last night was kind of comical. He had no chance against Diaz, who was just incredible. They've got some issues. I think, you know, they're not a great team right now. They're a good team with a great record, but they're going to absolutely need some moves, probably need another pitcher. Their pitching has certainly regressed. Probably need a left-handed bat. This team is, they've built up a big enough lead where it doesn't matter in terms of the division. They're going to win the division and win it easily. But getting that one seed and not having to play Houston on the road in the ALCS for a potential game seven, it's huge. That's, they've lost in Houston a lot of times before. So they definitely need some renovations, I would say.
Yeah, I think there'll be buyers at the trade deadline. I can see them going after Castillo from the Reds, or Montas from the A's, if he ends up being all the way healthy. Because I always felt, Will, they were going to regress, as you said, because guys like Taillon and Montgomery, I mean, they were having career years. They had like sub-3 ERAs for the majority of the season before the All-Star break. So I wouldn't be in full panic mode if I was a Yankees backer, because this is baseball. Everybody has ups and downs, but I do agree they do need to add another arm, in my opinion, to go with Cole and Cortez if they really want to make some noise in the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. Totally agree. I mean, they had a stretch 2-3 weeks where their starters were giving up one or two runs or less every single night. It definitely wasn't sustainable. Like you said, they need another arm in the rotation, especially if Severino's not healthy, because he got hurt 2 weeks ago. He got shut down. He's supposed to get reevaluated. I think it's tomorrow. But they've been kind of coy about, you know, the results of his MRI and, you know, when he's going to pitch again. If they don't get him back, that's an issue, because outside of Cole, who I think's become underrated, every time he gives up a few runs, people, you know, talk about how much money he makes. He's still a really good pitcher. But outside of that, Cortez hasn't proven it in a big game. Montgomery, Taillon, these guys are kind of unproven. So, and then you look at the bullpen. I mean, the fact that Chapman's anywhere near a big spot is a disaster. Holmes has been outstanding in the ninth inning, but you need guys to get to Holmes, and their bridge, their sort of setup guys are a little shaky too.
Well, I was happy because I think yesterday Chapman came in the sixth inning and he wasn't in a full-on sweat. So maybe that's what he needs, is to be a middle reliever as opposed to the closer. But staying in that division, and I'm not talking about the dumpster fire that's occurring in Boston, Massachusetts. I'm talking about what's going on north of the border in Toronto. Blue Jays are red hot, have won 9-1 in their last 10, have won all four games since the All-Star break. This is a team that came into the season with really high expectations, kind of underperformed in the first half of the season, but seem to be hitting their stride. Is this Blue Jays team capable of making some real noise?
Yeah, I would say they are. That lineup's dangerous. They're explosive. I would worry about their pitching a little bit, too, because they haven't gotten a lot out of the guys they expected with Barrios and Kikuchi, Ryu. So they got Manoah at the top. They've got a lot of bats. They're another team. They could be in Castillo. And that's another reason for the Yankees to make a move on him, not only to get him and to help your staff, but you want to play keep away. You don't want him going to Houston and facing you, you know, game five of a series, or going to Toronto and facing you. I mean, you put Castillo on that team, it could be scary. So they are absolutely dangerous, and they're going to be another team that's probably going to make a move here.
And we've got Gausman on the hill today against Adam Wainwright. The Blue Jays, a big -250 favorite in that one. To go back, though, to the Subway Series, I did want your opinion on tonight's game. First pitch, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 local. Max Scherzer and the Mets, -175 favorites on the money line to go 2-for-2 against Domingo Herman and the Yankees. Total 7.5. How are you betting tonight's game?
Yeah, wow. I saw it went up from $1.60. Now it's $1.75. So I thought that 160 was a little cheap. I guess I was right. I think this is the biggest underdog the Yankees have been all year. And, you know, you're not going to get more than plus 120 most of the time with the Yankees just because they're so good. And unless they're facing a great pitcher, they're not going to be big underdogs or underdogs at all. It's hard to back the Yankees, though, here. I mean, without Stanton, this is a complete mismatch in terms of the pitching. Herman was awful his only start here for the Yankees last week against the Astros. To me, it would be Mets or pass. It's getting a little expensive, though. You know, laying minus $1.75, $1.80 against this Yankee team, it's not a great bet. So if you're going to bet the Mets, I'd bet it now. I think the number's kind of getting away from you here.
You know, Will, I do think there's some value on over 7.5. You know, balls seemed to be flying out of Citi Field yesterday. Ooh. And, you know, with the extra energy, the extra emotion, guys are going to be locked in. You know, I can see the Yankees getting one or two runs off of Scherzer, and I think the Mets will probably be able to handle the rest. What do you think about this total that sits at 7.5?
I think that's a good call. The balls really were flying yesterday. Even the one Alonso hit in the first inning, it didn't get out, but it got all the way to the wall, and he hit it off. I mean, he basically hit it out of the dirt, you know, with one hand, and it rolled to the wall. So you've heard players talk about the balls are different game to game. I think last night, you know, opposite field home runs, four homers in the first inning. I think you bring up a good point. I think the over is probably a good play. The Mets were in a nasty slump offensively. They seemed to break out of it Sunday night against the Padres. They had that big sixth inning, carried it over into last night. So, yeah, I think that over 7.5, I certainly wouldn't be looking to play under.
Well, I know it's still early, but any other baseball action for you tonight?
Yeah, I like Atlanta. That's the early game. I think that's like a noon Eastern start. Morton against Gibson. To me, Atlanta, that's just, they have a better starting pitcher, a much better bullpen, much better lineup. Braves have been red hot here. They lost that series 2 out of 3 to the Mets. But other than that, the last couple months, they just don't seem to lose. The Mets have played pretty well. They just can't seem to gain any ground on Atlanta or fend them off because Atlanta's played so well. So I think that minus 155 is a little cheap. I think Atlanta's a good bet.
Good deal. Here with Will Hill, host of the New York City Cast, talking all things New York, which is where we'll go back to in the NFL, Giants and Jets. Looking ahead, training camps officially open. What are some of your expectations for New York's team in the NFL space?
Well, it'd be hard for them to be as bad as they were last year. I would say the Giants, the hope for the Giants, the case for them is they were so poorly coached and so injured last year that they could only be better. Remember, they were 4-6. They were not good, but they were at least competitive. Then Jones got hurt and they basically couldn't get a first down, couldn't move the ball past midfield. It was, you know, some of the worst quarterback play you've ever watched with Fromm and Glennon. I think you bring in Dable and, you know, you get some of these guys healthy. Remember, they had a lot of guys on IR last year, whether it was Barkley, you know, Shepard, all their good players were always hurt. The guys on the IR were better than the guys that were active. So it's a doable schedule. I mean, you look at it, they get the Bears at home, the Panthers at home, they get the Lions, the Texans, the Jaguars. That being said, to go over 7.5, that's tricky. I think all of the things I mentioned about, you know, being better coached, being healthier, I think that's all built into the number. So getting to 8 is tricky. I would still lean under 7.5. If you like the over, maybe just play Brian Daboll to be coach of the year, because if they win 9 or 10 games, he's going to have a really good chance to win it. As far as the Jets, I like a lot of their pieces. I like their skill players with Elijah Moore, Wilson, the rookie they drafted, Hall, the rookie they drafted. They got a couple good tight ends. I just think the only thing that matters is the quarterback, and I'm not a big fan of the quarterback. So it's not a great quarterback. It's not even a good quarterback. He's going to have to make a huge leap. He looked completely overmatched at times last year, and their defense was really bad. So bad defense, bad quarterback, really tough schedule. It's not easy living in the AFC, as you talked about in previous segments. So I'd go probably under still on the Jets.
I wonder, can you find an exact? I didn't realize Giants and Jets both finished at 4-13 last year. I wonder, can we get an exact that they finished with the exact record in 2022?
That's interesting.
Hey, man, it's 2022. You can find anything betting-wise if you just look for it. If you ask for it, I'm sure you can find it somewhere.
We love those two words, shop around. Thanks so much, Will. You're awesome. Thanks, appreciate Will. You getting up early
All
with
right,
us.
Thanks for having me. See ya.
That's Will Hill, host of the New York City Cast, at Not The Will Hill on Twitter. And as always, if you want to listen to his podcast, go to VSiN.com/subscribe or wherever you get your podcast. Brian Daboll, by the way, 18-1 in the Coach of the Year odds. We're going to step aside, take a quick time out. But Sean, when we come back, okay. College football right around the corner, which means week one lines. Let's see if any of the marquee games have an edge in Sean King's mind. Coming up on Follow the Money. Don't go anywhere.
Follow the Money on VSiN, the sports betting network.
First Bet wants you to get in on all the horse racing action. Sign up today with promo code VEGAS1000 and receive $10 instantly and up to $1,000 bonus. Visit VSiN.com/horses for details. Use that bonus code VEGAS1000 as my co-host here, Sean King, riding the ponies while I do the read. Welcome back to Follow the Money. Story Bonatoni and Sean King here at downtown Las Vegas in Circa Resort and Casino. Time to get into some college football. As we welcome in Thor Nystrom, college football analyst at Betting Pros, at ThorKU on Twitter. Welcome in, Thor.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. Great to hear your voice on an early morning. Let's talk some college football here. And obviously, you have a number of college conference previews out from a betting perspective. When you start to dive into your numbers and analysis, like, where do you start? Are you looking at win total markets or just general futures odds markets, or do you go into teams and conferences and take it in that approach? What do you do, and what do you recommend for bettors to do?
Yeah, I'm eventually looking at those win totals, but that's not where I start. Where I start is running my numbers. I'm getting the project. You know, first you start out by setting out the power ratings, the power rankings, and then you have your numbers for each team. And I have an adjusted home field advantage number for every team. So then I create an adjusted spread for every single game, which gives me an adjusted win percentage odds for that game. And then you can sort of add those up to get a projected win total. And then, you know, the next thing is diving in deep on the teams, especially this offseason, because as you know, there was an unprecedented amount of movement with both players and the coaches. But we never had transfers like this in the past. So this summer in particular, it was really important to do the homework phase to even get a good idea of where some of these kids ended up. And then after that, you know, once you feel good about your numbers, then that's when you're looking at the totals and, you know, deciding which, you know, three or four in every conference that you like.
Well, when you look at the top of the odds board, when it comes to the national championship coming into this year, the top three teams in college football seem very obvious to be Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia. Then we see a little bit of a drop off. So who are some teams you think have the best potential to get that last college football playoff spot, assuming that none of those contenders have any slip ups? Or do you even think that one of those top three teams maybe isn't necessarily the best option at the top? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, of the top, Georgia's the one, of course, that you're going to have the most pessimism about just because they just lost a historical amount of talent, you know, on defense. They also lost several offensive playmakers as well. So we'll have to see how that shakes out. They'd be the one of the top three that I would fade. I think this Alabama team is going to be one of the best college football teams of my lifetime. I don't just think that they're the best team in the nation. I think that this could be a historically good team. Last year, most of their two deep was freshmen and sophomores. All those guys come back, and then they absolutely destroy the transfer portal. So I think this coming season, it's going to be Alabama and then everybody else. And then, you know, as for some dark horses to make the playoffs, I'm not sure that they're considered a dark horse anymore, but I really like this Utah team. I think Utah has a fabulous chance to win the Pac-12, maybe go undefeated in the regular season and ultimately be there. The only team that could potentially put a kink into that, I think, is USC. But we got a long way to go to get there. Their offense is going to be awesome this year. USC is in the first year with Lincoln Riley. But the defense is where you have the question. And if they're only average defensively, they're not going to beat Utah on the road, which is where they're playing this year. So they would definitely be one of them. Another one, and I almost hesitate to even say this, because every time someone has said this the past five, six summers, they've come off looking like a doofus. I think the other sleeper is Texas. You know, Quinn Ewers, I talked to an assistant on the Texas staff this offseason. He told me that Quinn Ewers has the best arm that he has ever seen. Not the best that he's ever coached or the best that he's ever been around personally, the best that he's ever seen. And they have so many offensive pieces back. In addition to that, Bijan Robinson's the best running back in America. Xavier Worthy's one of the best receivers in America. They got this kid Nair from Wyoming, who's a really good receiver as well. They brought in another one from Iowa State, another one from Alabama. Their receiving core is stacked. They also brought in a tight end that they got from Alabama. So they are really well stocked. That's a team as well that I think could surprise people. They're in my preseason top 10 in my power ratings.
You know, Thor, I'm with you with all the talent at Texas, but until they find that voodoo doll that's inside the football building that's prevented them from ascertaining their previous level of success, I won't believe it until I see it. But I don't want to get away from Utah quite yet, because I have a question, because Stormy's extremely high on Kyle Whittingham's squad as well. She even likes Cam Rising, you know, as maybe a potential Heisman contender. But what was your initial thought when you saw the opening line for the week one game at Florida? You know, Florida's supposed to be in a rebuild. Billy Napier, his first game there, but yet Utah's only a 2-point favorite. Did that line make you think twice?
I don't think so. No, I mean, you know, you have to travel across the country. We haven't seen that Florida team yet. So there's a lot of sort of variance there just because you don't know how it's going to play out. Richardson playing full time. We'll see how that goes. Last year, obviously, the platoon with Emery didn't go very well. But I, you know, objectively, I think that's a fair line just because of that travel and because Florida is going to be a strong team. We don't know how strong, but they're going to be a strong team. And you talk about a game with national implications, like the rest of Utah's schedule. I have them favored. I'm looking at my sheet right now. I have them favored in every game this year. My numbers have Utah as the 2.5-point favorite. You know, obviously, as you suggested, the Vegas line is flipped on that. I only have – they're only close in one other game. I have them as a 1.5-point favorite at Oregon. But every other game, I think I have them as a touchdown-plus favorite the rest of the way.
Well, and that's just another example in my mind why that week one game is going to be so important for Utah to handle business so that they do get put on that national stage and get in a lot more people's mouths to talk about this team and to talk about the potential for where they could go and if they could be the first Pac-12 team to make the college football playoff. You mentioned USC and them being maybe that potential team to stand in the way. As far as the win totals go for them, I think 10 is asking for a little bit too much for a team that won just 4 games a season ago. And I know you talked about the overhaul, but the challenges on defense that you also mentioned seem a little bit too hard for, in my mind, for them to overcome, despite how good and powerful and explosive we know that offense is expected to be.
Yeah, 10 is too high. And this is coming from someone that's bullish on USC. I absolutely am. My numbers are, I think, as bullish as you can possibly get on them because I have them as one of the most improved teams in the nation. But even so, I mean, like you mentioned, what, you know, where you're coming from, they went 4-8 last year. You have only 3 returning starters on defense. So even though we acknowledge the offense is going to be very good right away, I don't know how you can feel the same way about the defense. They didn't bring in the star power in the transfer portal on the defensive side of the ball that they did on you know, on the defensive side of the ball that they did on the offensive side of the ball. That unit has to coalesce for them to be able to compete with a team like Utah or, you know, I mean, going down the line, Oregon or even Washington, right? Like those teams, if you can't stop anyone, you know, Kalen DeBoer now at Washington, the offense should be better there. They could give them problems. But my numbers have them 33rd overall, which is a bump up of 37 spots from where they finished last year. They finished 70th in my power ratings last year. And speaking to the thing of the 10 wins, my adjusted win total for them is 8.8 this year, which, again, I feel like is pretty bullish. It's more than double they had last year, but I can't get to 10, no.
You know, so I think a lot of this is because at Oklahoma, Lincoln had a couple teams that kind of resembled this USC team. Great on offense. You know, Swiss cheese on defense, and they still find a way to win, you know, 10, 11, 12 games. Having said that, and we only have about a minute and a half left, Thor, I know there was a non-Power 5 team that you were high on. We were talking about, you know, right before we started this segment. Talk us through Toledo and your opinions, you know, on the ball club.
Yeah, the Rockets are one of my favorite overs so far that I've gone through on the entire card. The number that I had seen was 7.5. That is too low. In my opinion, 8 is too low as well. My projected win total on them is 10. They have basically everyone back last year from a team that was pretty dang good. They're going to be better this year. That, you know, the starting quarterback last year, Daquan Finn, that took over for Carter Bradley, Gus's son. The first 3 games with Carter Bradley, they were not very good on offense. And then once Daquan Finn took over, the offense just took off. He had like a 19-1 touchdown to interception ratio. They also bring back most of the guys on defense. They added a top 10 linebacker recruit that had signed with Ohio State a couple years ago. So their defense is going to be better too. And then the schedule they play is just absolute garbage. They do have to play at Ohio State. That's the one tough one. But the other non-con games, it's like home against Long Island, home against UMass, et cetera. And then the MAC, there aren't teams that I would put up with Toledo there. In the MAC play, I have Toledo as at least an 8.5-point favorite in every single game.
Wow.
So I am really bullish on that team. I think they're going to win the MAC this year, and I think they have a strong shot at double-digit wins.
Tremendous, tremendous insight today. Really appreciate you, Thor. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate you guys.
That's Thor Nystrom, college football analyst with Betting Pros at ThorKU on Twitter. Follow him because he does post on his Twitter feed a lot of those conference previews that he has, and that's about as good as analysis as you can get as we head into this college football season. We're going to go back to the NFL as we close out our final hour here on Follow the Money with Matt Maiocco, insider for the 49ers on NBC Sports Area. What's going on with Jimmy G and Debo? We'll find out next.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the Money on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Wrapping things up here on Follow the Money, remember, Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook is serving up big wins with our new weekly profit boost on all tennis wagers. Visit BetRivers.com or download the BetRivers Sportsbook app every Wednesday to receive a 20% profit boost on any tennis wager. That's right. Every Wednesday, automatically, you're getting a 20% profit boost. And now, you can even live stream your favorite tennis players right from the BetRivers app. Heat up your summer with the BetRivers Sportsbook app. It's a whole new game. Stormy Bonantoni and Sean King in for Mitch and Pauly as we welcome you back to downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. As a lifelong San Francisco 49ers fan myself and somebody who cannot get out of her own way in backing her team as well. There are a lot of off-season storylines and question marks that now that training camp is getting underway, we're finally going to get some answers to. And right now, we'll get some of those answers as well with the help of Matt Maiocco. Covers the 49ers for NBC Sports Bay Area at Maiocco NBCS on Twitter. And Matt, I want to start, of course, with the Jimmy G saga as this rolls on, because from the moment that the 49ers elected to trade up and pay what they were going to pay to get Trey Lance in the draft a year ago, we knew the writing was on the wall for Jimmy G. He got to learn behind Jimmy last season, and now we're just trying to figure out what happens with Garoppolo as he is on his way out. What's the latest that you have learned?
Well, the latest is yesterday afternoon, he underwent a physical and was medically cleared by the 49ers medical staff. And he had already been cleared by his own independent doctor. So the 49ers, you know, did have a $7.5 million, or Garoppolo, I should say, had a $7.5 million injury guarantee where the 49ers couldn't cut him unless they were willing to pay him that $7.5 million. So as of yesterday, they could cut him and not owe him a penny. They still obviously would like to get something for him. They've repeatedly said that they don't want to just, you know, let a good player hit the street. But at this point, I don't know what the other solution is. When I asked Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch yesterday if Garoppolo has requested his release, and John Lynch said he hadn't, and that things, you know, that everybody was on the same page, it kind of led me to believe that, you know, they're going to make a last ditch effort to try to trade him. If there are no takers, then, you know, him being somebody who was a good teammate last year and somebody who has a good rapport with the organization. And it sure sounds like he and Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are all on okay terms. I mean, I just don't know that they would. I just don't think it's wise to leave him twisting in the wind until, you know, the final cuts. If he survives the final cuts, his salary becomes guaranteed $24.2 million. Yeah, I just don't know that it makes sense for anybody to kind of keep him with the team against his will. And so I just think something's going to happen sooner than later, but I don't expect him to ever step on the practice field with the 49ers. I certainly don't expect him to play in a preseason game. It's just too big of a risk, because, you know, they're going to need that $24 million down the road when they, you know, look to get Deebo Samuel a contract extension, which should be coming up shortly. And then a year from now, Nick Bosa.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, Matt. It seems like since the NFC Championship loss to the Rams, I'm not going to use turmoil, but maybe tension has surrounded this 49ers team. Deebo was very public about his usage rate and how he'd like to play more receiver and less running back. Yet Raheem Mostert, who I think is extremely talented, although he's been injured, left to go to the Dolphins. So now more of the load falls on Eli Mitchell. Trey Lance, they've announced him as their starting quarterback, basically. Is that because of what he's shown them as a 49er, or because of what they gave up to acquire him?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's a little bit of both. I think that, you know, Kyle Shanahan said yesterday they made the decision a year ago of how they were going to approach this. Heck, when they gave up all they gave up to move up to number 3 overall in the 2021 draft, you know, they did it with the idea of, we'll see how year one goes, but year two, it's going to be Trey Lance. And there was a point last season where they almost made the move to go to Trey Lance. And it was at a time when the 49ers were struggling. And then Jimmy Garoppolo, I believe at that point, Trey Lance was a little bit banged up. And so they continued with Garoppolo. The 49ers got hot. They go to the playoffs.
I think when you look at what Trey Lance did last year, he was injured. You know, he got a finger injury that kind of prevented him from throwing the ball that great in practices. He got healthy later in the year. And you heard behind the scenes how he was impressing teammates, offensive and defensive teammates, as well as the coaching staff, with how he was picking things up, how he was performing, how he was at times carving up the 49ers defense. And then he got in week 17 for a crucial game against the Houston Texans. Obviously not a good team, but Garoppolo was injured. And after kind of a rough first half, he played very well in the second half. The 49ers win that game going away. And then that sets up the week 18 game where Garoppolo comes back and they beat the Rams and make it into the playoffs. So yeah, I think when you know, the NFL is a business, and when you invest the kind of capital, both draft capital and everything else, emotional capital really too, in a young guy, you just can't have him sit 2 years in a row, especially coming off of, you know, a college career where he only played one season in college. So I do think that they've been impressed with what they've seen behind the scenes, both with him and his maturity, as well as his athletic skills and his ability to pick up the offense. But I think they were probably going to force him to the forefront regardless of how everything else was going. You just have to at some point, you know, rip the Band-Aid off, and that time has arrived where the 49ers have decided, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is the quarterback we're going to do it with. And the good news for him, and I think the good news for the organization, there's a pretty good supporting cast, so he doesn't have to do everything this season all by himself.
So that's where I'll go next, because Trey Lance has been somebody that's gotten a lot of betting love in the MVP market because his odds are very long and he has that great supporting cast and build around him with the team. The win total for the 49ers is set at 10. They're the second very close betting favorite behind the Los Angeles Rams, who just won a Super Bowl. And in the Super Bowl odds, the fourth betting favorite on the board. So very, very high expectations for a young guy who's legitimately only had three starts in the last 3 years. So what would you call a successful season for him?
Well, I mean, I guess it's difficult to kind of figure out how the season is going to play out and how, you know, what a successful season is. I think it's just, what's the win total? You know, is he doing enough to help the team win? I would expect that he would take care of the football pretty well. I think you're going to have, I don't know what kind of numbers. He's got some weapons on offense. I mean, he has three guys, George Kittle, Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, who are all very capable of putting up 1,000-yard receiving seasons. You know, is each of those guys going to have 1,000 yards? Probably not, because then that would put Trey Lance up there around the 4,000-yard mark, I'm sure, passing-wise, which isn't out of the question. But 49ers always want to run the ball, too. And so if they're winning football games, you know, Trey Lance probably won't be putting up big numbers. He might be running the ball as much on either designed runs or the second reaction runs and scrambles. But I really think it's just simply that. Is he doing enough to help the 49ers win 10-plus games and get into the playoffs?
It's going to be fascinating. It's going to be fascinating to watch, Matt. It's going to be fascinating to watch. Yeah, we have about.
I think the 49ers are the most interesting team in football right now.
Yeah, I agree. They're one of them. We got about 30 seconds left. I know you kind of mentioned in passing earlier that Debo, you expected that deal to get done. Can you give us a quick update on where they are with the contract extension for Debo Samuel?
Yeah, so he reported to camp yesterday. I asked Kyle Shanahan straight out, are you and Debo on the same page, or have you guys spoken about how he's going to be used this season? You know, is it going to be a carryover from the second half of the season where he was used, you know, as a wide receiver or a running back? And what he said was, Debo and I are on the same page. So there are, you know, the communication is open. Those two have always had a really good relationship. So the 49ers hit the practice field today. I would not expect Debo Samuel to be on the practice field until he has that contract extension worked out and done. you know, kind of more of like a hold-in kind of situation. And I do think maybe the target would be Monday. That's when the 49ers put pads on for the first time. I would think that something will be happening here. I would guess within a week that something will be done and Deebo Samuel will be locked up to be a member of the 49ers for the foreseeable future.
Matt, nice, we are up, man, against it, but thank Great you stuff, so much for the time.
All right, Stormy. Sean, thank you for having me.
Yeah, hopefully we can see if that trade request will look like a distant memory for San Francisco. That's a wrap for Follow the Money.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.